A never again moment. Veterans make a final, desperate push to bring Afghan interpreters and their families to safety. By Ken Olson. Caption: Ramesh Darwishi worked as an interpreter for U.S. and coalition forces in Afghanistan starting in 2012. After five tense years of waiting, he and his wife, Farashta, were cleared to travel to the United States last fall. End of caption. Ramesh Darwishi spent his last 6 years in Afghanistan trying to escape the Taliban's death sentence, changing houses, changing his appearance, even changing provinces as he waited for the expedited visa he was offered when he became an interpreter for U.S. and coalition forces. He pleaded with the U.S. Embassy when it became too dangerous to call or visit his family, only to repeatedly hear that his application was still being processed. "I lost all hope," Darwishi says. "I was sleepless. I thought, the Taliban will find me and behead me." Given Darwishi's experience, it's easy to imagine the terror the 18,000 other interpreters and families feel with the imminent departure of U.S. troops, their special immigrant visa, SIV, applications, lost in a distant bureaucracy. They are just waiting to get murdered, says Kim Staffieri, founder of the Association of Wartime Allies, which helps Afghan nationals navigate the visa process. "We are very clearly giving a message that we can't be trusted, and that's going to endanger our troops." The American Legion, which has been calling on the U.S. government to dramatically improve efforts to bring interpreters and their families to the United States since 2018, contacted President Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken in late April to ask for urgent action. "While we welcome an end to these endless wars, we must never abandon the brave Afghan and Iraqi allies who took great personal risk to assist our military," says American Legion National Commander James W. "Bill Oxford. They have earned safe passage to America. It's a haunting reminder of the situation faced by Montagnards, who risked their lives and those of their families to support the United States in Vietnam. With time running out, the International Refugee Assistance Project, Association of Wartime Allies, and other humanitarian and veterans groups are calling for the mass evacuation of Afghans to safe locations such as Guam while they slog through the visa application process. Much like what was done for Vietnamese refugees in 1975 and Iraqi Kurds in 1996. "This is a never-again moment," says Chris Purdy, program manager with Veterans for American Ideals, who served with the Army National Guard in Iraq in 2011. "We know there's going to be mass atrocity, and we know there are not systems in place to prevent it. Veterans need to speak out with a unified voice for drastic action. Impossible bureaucracy. Afghan and Iraqi nationals have saved countless American lives by working as translators and cultural guides for U.S. troops, USAID, and other non-governmental organizations. There would be so many more Gold Star mothers in this country if these people hadn't helped us," says Purdy, whose organization is leading a sign-on letter from veterans groups to Biden supporting a mass evacuation. The United States created a limited visa program for Afghan interpreters in 2006, but the special immigrant visa program most Afghan nationals are using was established in 2009 when Congress created the Afghan Allies Protection Act, says Julie Kornfeld, an attorney with the International Refugee Assistance Project, who represents several Afghan interpreters. The statute calls for visa applications to be processed in 9 months. The average is more than 4 years, and Kornfeld has clients who have been waiting 10. The U.S. mission in Afghanistan recruited Afghan nationals with a promise of safety, but we've made it bureaucratically impossible for them to access safety, she says. It sends a message to them that we aren't fulfilling our promise to protect them. The SIV is the single most complicated visa the United States offers. Staffieri says, requiring screening and approvals from multiple federal agencies. It's also been deliberately neglected. There was no one in charge of the program at the State Department from January 2017 to March 2020, when a lawsuit forced the Trump administration to fill the leadership post. And there wasn't an increase in staff from 2016 until a few months after the U.S. troop withdrawal was announced, despite more than a 50% increase in demand for SIVs. The program is also quite restrictive. Thousands of interpreters who worked with coalition forces for less than 2 years are unable to apply, and children of Afghan nationals who have turned 21 since their parents started the application process are not eligible to come to the United States. What does that do to families who put their faith and trust in the U.S. government? Purdy says. Do they leave their 21-year-old child to die? SIV applicants must undergo extensive background checks, even though they have already been thoroughly vetted by the U.S. military. Translators initially had to show they worked with U.S. forces for more than 12 months. That was doubled to more than 24 months as of September 30, 2015. It's also become far more difficult for Afghan nationals to obtain documentation to prove they have worked with the United States, given the troop withdrawal. Former employers are burning their sensitive files to protect the Afghans, Kornfeld says. Then there are the problems with visa application processing that prompted Kornfeld to visit the National Visa Center in Portsmouth, New Hampshire in 2019. The special immigrant visa team leader, who was in charge of scheduling and processing the visas, could barely tell me what SIV was. Kornfeld says she wasn't able to tell me any of the requirements or what the department's role in the program was. The reason is that it's primarily staffed by contractors. The State Department declined to comment on Kornfeld's description of the problems at the National Visa Center. More generally, the Biden administration is committed to supporting those who have helped U.S. military and other government personnel perform their duties, often at great personal risk to themselves and their families, a State Department official said in response to questions. Endless threats. Darwishi left teaching to become an interpreter with U.S. Special Forces in 2012. His mother started receiving letters and phone calls about a year later, vowing to kill him and his family if he didn't stop working with the Americans. She hid the threats from Darwishi until his uncle and brother started receiving similar phone calls. Darwishi had accepted the fact that he could be injured or killed while working with the U.S. military, but the threats to his family were another matter. The really bitter moment in my life was that someone would say, "We will harm your family. We will kill your family," he says. He applied for a special immigrant visa for himself and his wife in 2015. A letter of recommendation from the Special Forces unit he worked with called him a vital asset, singled out his work ethic, and warned that because of his service and dedication to the U.S. military, Darwishi and his family are continuously targeted by the enemy. Darwishi was laid off a year later because of U.S. troop reductions. He quickly learned Afghan employers wouldn't hire him because he had worked with the Americans. "Even the common people had a bad attitude toward you," he says. He received threatening phone calls multiple times a day and moved his family to a different province. Darwishi also changed his clothing, grew a beard, and tried to blend in with the community. The Taliban soon found him, and he and his wife had to move again and again, fleeing one location after unknown attackers shot at his house in the middle of the night. 3 years into the SIV application process, Darwishi became despondent. I told the embassy, I was supporting you on the battlefield. For God's sake, please help me. The response from the embassy was the same. Your documents are in the process, he says. Darwishi was finally able to secure clearance to come to the United States in October and is living in Colorado. And while he's grateful to be out of Afghanistan, his search for work has been stymied by the pandemic and caring for his wife, who has several health issues. In addition, both Darwishi and his wife contracted COVID-19 in March. The financial assistance he received from Lutheran Family Services, which helped him settle in the United States, ran out after 6 months. He's borrowing money from friends to cover rent and utilities. He also worries about his family and thousands of others who are in jeopardy. It's not only interpreters, he says. It's cooks, laborers, plumbers, translators who worked with USAID, the United Nations, and other NGOs. If you work one day with the U.S. military, they will kill you. We should do everything in our power to take these people, if not to the United States, then to another safe place. Counting families, an estimated 80,000 people need an immediate way out of Afghanistan, far more than the SIV program can handle at this late date. We're looking at something similar to the final days in Vietnam in terms of urgency of the situation and the number of people upended by it, Staffieri says. We are at the point of a mass evacuation. Desperate days. Gerald and Lynette Keene feel this desperation. They have been trying to help an Afghan interpreter and his family obtain SIVs for nearly 5 years. One of the interpreter's relatives was assassinated by the Taliban in March. Another was killed by an IED in late April. It's like he has a bounty on his head, Gerald says of the Afghan national he worked closely with during his 2016 deployment. The Taliban has no remorse. They will torture, rape, and kill his kids, his wife, mom and dad, brothers and sisters, whoever they can find, in front of him. Then they will behead him. Like Darwishi, the Keens are repeatedly told the visa applications are in process when they contact their senators and other top officials. Their efforts to raise money to help bring the interpreter and his family to the United States have likewise struggled to get traction. It's very frustrating, says Gerald, a 36-year Army veteran and president of American Legion Riders Chapter 28 in Grand Haven, Michigan. We could not have made it through this without these interpreters. I wish there was a way for people to understand the terror, Lynette adds. They could die waiting. Gerald connected with his interpreter, who is the same age as his youngest son, soon after he arrived in Afghanistan. He lives up to the Army values as much as any soldier, if not more, he says. As they got to know each other, through work and over meals, Gerald learned the interpreter worried about his children's future in Afghanistan, in part because of the lack of educational opportunities. Not to mention the risks working with the U.S. Army poses to the interpreter and his family. Gerald wrote a letter to the embassy in Kabul a month before he left Afghanistan, pledging to support the interpreter and his family in the United States. And he and Lynette have continued to talk to them weekly, becoming so close that the interpreter's children consider the Keens their grandparents. The interpreter and his family need only to pass medical examinations before they are cleared for visas. Failure is not an option, Gerald says. I can't leave him behind. There's ample evidence, beyond the casualties in his extended family, that the interpreter is in grave danger. One of Kornfeld's clients was killed by the Taliban in January, just weeks after he received word he had been approved to move forward with his SIV application after 10 years of effort. He felt he finally saw the light at the end of the tunnel, Kornfeld says. Identifying him only as Muhammad, She describes how his car was surrounded by Taliban as he was driving his son to school. His son, who survived the attack, later recounted that the Taliban taunted his father. "Where are the American forces to save you? You are an infidel, a traitor. You helped them for a decade. Where are they now?" before fatally shooting him. In the aftermath, Kornfeld is focused on getting Mohammed's widow and six children out of Afghanistan. They were granted humanitarian parole in mid-May, which allows them to come to the United States while they work on getting visas or asylum. "It's the Hail Mary of the immigration program," Kornfeld says. "They have already received threats. My worst fear for his family is we won't be able to get them to safety, and they will suffer the same fate as Mohammed." Absent dramatic action, there will be thousands more Mohammeds. And the United States, Purdy says, will be sending a clear message that we are what the Taliban said we were: unreliable, untrustworthy. We leave people to die. If we don't bring these people to the United States, we're going to have a much harder time in future engagements, he adds. If we can't honor these commitments that are a matter of life and death, that saved American lives, why would other countries want to do business with us? Ken Olson is a frequent contributor to the American Legion magazine.